Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Well, let's pray real quick. Lord, we love you so much, and we do adore you, Father. Help us to adore you, Lord. Help us to see you for what you really are. Our provider, our sustainer, our God, our King, the one who loves us. Father, we are so thankful to be able to be in your presence this morning, sing your praises, that we get the opportunity to fellowship with one another, knowing that you're here with us, in our midst. Father, I pray that you refresh everybody in the room this morning, that you'll let us be able to just have a fresh new revelation of your greatness and of your goodness to us, Father. I pray, Father, that you help us to reflect this morning on your faithfulness and how you've helped us all the way along the way in our lives, Father, even up to this very day, that you gave us breath in our lungs this morning, Father, that we woke up and had our family with us, Father, we were able to come and meet with one another today, Father. I pray that you let us not take anything for granted, but we want to just be thankful, Father, this morning. We love you. We love your Son, Jesus Christ. Pray that you bless this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, last week we did testimonies, and I just wanted to tell you that I just enjoy it so much. I say this every time, but the testimonies, how many of y'all enjoyed that last week? It's just so good. It's so rich, and it just never gets old. Y'all always have something good to say, and like usual, you didn't fail last week. You brought it to the table. And I just thought it was so cool that, you know, from young to old, everybody had a great testimony of God's faithfulness last week. We're going to keep doing that, you know, at least once a month, I think. So y'all start thinking again, because we'll do it in the next few weeks. But, yeah, the testimonies were so good. You know, I don't know any other church that does that. And I'm going to brag about that. I think that that's amazing that we have a group of people here that are willing to stand up and share in front of each other about God's faithfulness. I think that brings God so much pleasure. I really do. I think that it brings him way more pleasure than me, if you're speaking. So I love that y'all are willing to do that. You know, one of the number one fears in all of the world is public speaking. So for y'all to be able to do that, you're overcoming a lot, I know. So good job. Thank you. And bring some more, please. This week, I wanted to talk about, or the title of my sermon is called The Dangers of Familiarity. I'm going to probably say that wrong the whole time. That's a hard word for me to say. Familiarity. Familiarity. Am I saying it right, Lee? Okay. All right. The Dangers of Familiarity. This came to me because Lee's been reading a devotional called Come Let Us Adore Him by Paul David Tripp. I don't know if y'all are familiar with Paul David Tripp. He's a great author and has great revelation. And she's been reading a devotional, an Advent devotional. And this week, one of his pages was The Dangers of Familiarity. And as Lee read it to me, it occurred to me that he was right. There is real danger in familiarity. It's good to be familiar with the things of God, the gospel and the scriptures and all the stories. That's wonderful. We want to be familiar with those things, but not at the cost of the wonder that it can steal from us when we are too familiar with things. Amen? I feel like that this is, I've fallen into this many times, probably in it right now and don't even know it, to be honest with you, that you fall into the familiarity of the Christmas season, right? That you've been through it so many times. Also, the culture kind of has twisted it and made it something different than what it is, really. And you can go through the whole entire season of Christmas and not even think about the reality of what's going on. And that is what? That we had this great gift given to us. Not that we're responsible for giving so much and have to come up with all this money, but that something was given to us. When we become too familiar with things, we can't see that. And it becomes a real danger. And I think that we need to guard our hearts from it. I think that it needs to be on our mind. The scripture says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Sometimes we just don't think about it, that this could be a danger, that this has become too familiar for me. And I'm not seeing it for the wonder that it really is. So, like I say, it's good to be familiar with the things of God, but not at the to the degree where it can steal the wonder from us. And it's especially dangerous during Christmas, during Easter, these major holidays that have become something other than what they are. It's amazing how we can take the most monumental event in history and become so familiar with it that they no longer have any real meaning or wonder to us anymore. I feel like I said, I probably do this a little bit every Christmas. And I don't want to this year. This year I want to feel it. I want to know. I want to get back to the place when I was a kid and I learned about these kind of things and the awe of it all. When I first got saved, I remember coming to this church and hearing Pastor Murphy preach and hearing the other guys share the gospel on Monday nights at the men's class and just being so in awe of it all. Do you remember that? Can you recollect that when you first came to God and just feeling like this rush of excitement in everything in God? Do you remember that, Jack? You remember riding in the truck with me, and we used to ride around. Jack Redwood and I used to work together, and we'd be sharing the gospel with one another. And the awe of it all was just amazing. I would get excited in the mornings when I woke up to go to work, because I got to work with guys like Jack, and we were able to share the gospel and learn together. And I'd be excited about coming here on Sundays. I'd be so excited. But what happens? It's just a human condition. Over time, you come and do the same thing over and over again, over and over again. And then you start thinking, well, I've heard Bill preach that before. And everything becomes so familiar. I've heard T say that before. And everything becomes so familiar. But it's not familiar to everybody, and it shouldn't be familiar to us. We have to get back to the wonder of it all. I want to get back to the wonder and the awe of it all. I think the Holy Spirit has to lead us in that. It has to break us out of our almost trance that we can get in sometimes. But yes, there was nothing like coming to this church when I was first young and learning about God. Do you remember when you were a child and you used to wake up on Christmas morning and how the excitement you would have? And how you grow up and it's just not as exciting anymore. And look, that's just part of growing up a little bit. But Jesus did say, he said, unless you're like one of these little ones, and unless you have the faith of a child, he said, you'll never enter into the kingdom of God. I think you'll never get all that he has to offer. And so you can get back to a place where we can, again, get into the awe of God and not be so familiar with all of these things. I had a guy work for me one time, and I had to go to another church on Easter. I think we traveled home to Lee's parents' house, and we went to church there on Easter Sunday. And I came back, and this guy went to this church, and he got in the truck with me, and I said, well, how was church Sunday? And he said, yeah, it was all right. And I said, what did Pastor Murphy preach on? And he said, oh, just the resurrection, nothing special. And how many of you know he was a little too familiar? A little bit too familiar. Just some smaller restoration. No big deal. The Israelites were too familiar with God, weren't they, in the desert? They got out of Egypt and they begged God for manna. They begged God for food, just food. They said, oh, we had potted meat back in Egypt when we were slaves. So God rained down manna from heaven. From heaven. We can't even understand what that would be like. And it didn't take long, did it, before the scripture said they were grumbling against God. And they said the same thing. Oh, if we just had that pot of meat. Guess what God did? He rained down meat from heaven. Doves or whatever it was. He said, you'll eat this till it's running out of your nose. That's what God said. What a thing to say. And you know what? They grumbled. They grumbled. Way too familiar. They were led by a cloud by day and a fire by night. And they were so familiar with the things of God that it just didn't even move them anymore. How many of you know we wake up also to a fire? We see the sun every morning and the moon every night. And we can still find a way to not be grateful And we can get way too familiar with God, can't we? You don't want to get too familiar with God in general. He is powerful. Charles Simpson used to say, as long as you know that God's a mystery, you and God will get along okay. He is always a mystery, and He is wonderful, and He wants to be your Father. But there's a side to Him that is inspiring, you should say. We can't be too familiar. That there is a danger in familiarity. Do you still get excited when you think about the gift of Christ this Christmas? I mean, like when you're thinking about it, do you get excited thinking that God gave you this wonderful gift? Does it do anything to you anymore at all? Do you feel anything? I'm talking to Christians here. I mean, we're all followers of Christ. Does it do anything for you? Does it do anything for you to drive here on Sunday mornings knowing that you're about to meet with eternal people, the body of Christ? The person sitting next to you will spend eternity with you. Some of that, you might want to move around some of this. That could be but you will be spending eternity with these people around you. They are not just flesh and blood, you understand? They're spirit. We're spirit. Do you get excited to come be with you? Do you feel excited? Do you understand what's happening every time we meet? That we are meeting with the body of Christ, the bride of the living God? Or have we become just so familiar that it has turned into habit and routine, and this is just what we do? You know, I just think God would say, just stay at home if that's the way you feel. And listen, I'm not beating you up. I'm talking to myself here, too. I think that God would just say, just stay at home. If you're just coming for habit. Pastor Murphy taught me a long time ago about tithes, and it helped me so much when I was young about giving tithes. I was worried because I didn't have a lot of money to give a tithe. It was in my early 20s. And I remember I was literally in tears because I just wanted a tithe, and I just probably thought it was a little bit bigger of a deal than what it was. And Pastor Murphy said, what do you think's more important? He said, giving that tithe with tears, or not being able to give a tithe, but you're crying to me about it because you want to, or the guy that's got plenty and just sows it in the plate. And he said, your tears are your tithe. You remember saying that to me? You said, your tears are your tithe today. And listen, that meant so much to me, and it kind of broke the familiar habit forming. I'm just going to throw it in the plate this week. Again, if you're going to just throw in the plate and there's no thought of where it's going, just keep, because God doesn't need the money. He never has needed your money. He wants your heart, right? He wants your heart. After that day, Pastor Bill taught me that. I'm telling you, to this day, every time I tithe, I always get it and think before I do it, Lord, bless this money. Let it find its way in the kingdom of God, wherever you want it to go. I don't want to just throw it in there like it's nothing. I want to give you my time. Money is a representation of your time. You trade your time for money. So anyway, that just breaks the habit I'm trying to get at. It breaks the familiarity that can be so, it becomes so routine. Paul David Tripp said in this Advent, it was just so good, I just quoted him. He says, when we become familiar with things, we begin to take them for granted. When we are familiar with things, we tend to quit seeking them out. Well, that was really good. He says, when we are familiar with things, we quit noticing. He says, when we are familiar with things, we tend not to celebrate them anymore. Familiarity can rob us of wonder, he said. And then he said, why is this important? He said, because what has captured the wonder of our hearts will control the way we live. And I believe that. Do you believe that? What has captured the wonder of our hearts will control the way we live. I think Jesus taught this when he said, a man can't serve two masters. He said, wherever his heart is, his treasure will be also. Right? So, whatever's captured the wonder of our hearts is how we will live. And wherever your treasure is, your heart will be also. What is your treasure? Ask yourself that question, because whatever it is, that's where your heart's at also. Familiarity not only steals away the wonder of the things of God, but also it steals wonder from the people of God. When we become too familiar with one another, we live life with each other. When we live life with each other, we tend to see the humanity only in one another. We just see the flesh. This happens all the time. This happens to me all the time. When you know too much about somebody, have you ever had this happen? I've had this happen. And I'm sure y'all have happened to me too. But when you work with somebody, you get to know somebody, it's hard to receive certain things from them when you know that they have failed in certain areas. We're really hard on each other in that way. But I remember, to my shame, I remember in this church there was a guy that would come up here and prophesy, and for years I loved it. He didn't go to church anymore, he'd been gone for a long time. I wouldn't say this, but he'd come up there and prophesy, and man, it used to bless me, bless me, bless me. And then one day I saw him on the job side, and he didn't measure up to what I thought that he was. He didn't even do anything terrible. He was just a little too harsh or something with some guys, and I was like, that didn't seem, I never could have received from him. So look, we both have a responsibility in that. Now, he could clean up his act a little bit too. But the reality is I was too familiar with him at that point. I couldn't see anything that he had to offer anymore, and I couldn't receive from him anymore. How many of you know that this happened to Jesus and the prophet without honor? We're going to read it right now. Let's turn to Mark 6. Mark 6, 1 through 4. This is in three different gospels, so apparently it was according to Christ. Y'all still with me? All righty. Scripture says in Mark 6, as Jesus left there and he went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given to him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And listen to this. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Too familiar. Isn't this Mary's son? That was a negative connotation. From what I've read, they always said that you always call a son by the father's name. When they said, isn't this Mary's son? It was, you know, a slight on him. Isn't this the carpenter's son? He had just come, if you split back, he had just come from another village where he healed everybody and taught the gospel and fed the 5,000. Am I on school? And fed the 5,000. And they missed out due to familiarity. There's a saying that familiarity breeds contempt. Have you heard that? That's true. It's true. Familiarity, when you're too familiar with somebody, it's just like me with the prophet, to my shame. It bred contempt in me. I thought, who's this guy? I've seen him on the job site. I've seen him. He's not what he's all cracked up to be. But how many of you know that God uses vessels that are broken? He uses vessels that, there's plenty of you that have seen me and probably say the same thing about me. God uses us. I was telling Sterling before we got in here today is that God chose to use people, and we're all broken. And you're always going to find us in some predicament where we don't measure up. But Jesus did. They didn't find him in that predicament. They just couldn't bear up under the thought that somebody from their hometown to be doing the things that he was doing. Listen, they knew that he was doing miracles. They even admitted, they said, who is this guy with this authority, this wisdom? Who is this guy? And they still couldn't climb over. They just could not climb over. Isn't this Mary's boy? I was thinking, and I shudder to think, about how many blessings I have missed because I couldn't climb over the fact that that came from one of you, and I just couldn't. Sorry, I can't receive that. I'm sorry. I know you too well. I know your daddy. How many blessings have we missed? Can we extract the truth even when you're dealing with a broken vessel? When you're dealing with somebody that you know is maybe a mess outside of the church, let me just tell you something. They can still have a truth in you that can be only theirs to give to you, and you might not find it anywhere but them. And because you overlook them because of what you've seen outside, you don't get the blessing. You don't get the word of encouragement, whatever it is. But they took offense at Jesus just because they grew up with him. That's it. Arrogant. They were arrogant. They were prideful. And they missed out on the Son of the Living God being in their midst. Listen, it doesn't get any worse than that. That's as bad as it is. I'm going to tell you. So we have to guard our heart from these types of things. We have to be careful to not fall into just routine and not to just see people as just fleshly people. But all the people in this room, everybody you work with, everybody you will see over Christmas, everybody you'll see in this whole next year, are all image bearers of God, made by him and for him. All have something to offer. All have purpose in their lives. All given by God. He delighted as he made them in their mother's wombs. And he sent them out into the world to do what he's called them to do. Now, they might be lost, but guess what? That's our job. That's our job. Let's try to bring them back. Let's not let familiarity breed contempt in our lives. Let's not be angry because we grew up with each other and we know too much. Let's forgive and try to find Christ in me, which is the hope of all glory. Amen? How many blessings have we missed? I want to get back, and I'm done here, but I want to get back to the wonder of it all. I want to get back to a place where that I can truly be excited that Christ was given to us and what all that means, all the implications of that. Even if I don't understand it all, I can at least grab onto a few things like my sins are forgiven because of this day. I can grab onto the fact that God was so kind that he pulled Christ from himself and put him in the world so that we could know the Father. I can hold on to those things. There's so many implications that you can't get them all. But listen, we can rejoice in just a few things I just said. I want to read one scripture before we go, and I want to read Isaiah 9. And I want it to help us just maybe, I don't know, get back into the wonder of it all. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is given. So Isaiah 9, verse 2, let's start. It says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar that's across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment that's been rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be the fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. This is what's been given to us. Let us not be found going through this season and just being too familiar with everything, pushing it aside, not thinking much about the real meaning of Christmas, not spending any time with our Father. You get caught up in the hustle and bustle of Christmas that you just forget sometimes just to sit down and say thank you. So, y'all join with me and we'll try to break this routine, and if you'll stand, I'll pray for you and we'll leave. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much again for your words. I thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father, who leads us. I thank you for everybody in this room, Father, the body of Christ. I pray that you bless them, Father. Like I prayed at the beginning, Lord, I pray that you give us a fresh new revelation of your greatness, your gift to us this season. And that you bless your people, Father, and that our focus will be on you. It will be on you and the great gift that you've given in your Son. Let us not turn to the right or the left, but let us keep our eyes on things above, where you're seated next to the Father. I pray, Father, that you just bless this people in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.